Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is a weekly punk rock show, We All Fall Down. My name is Tim, and welcome to the show, my friends. The telephone in studio is 604-822-2487. I have here in studio two very, very special guests, and the guests I was really trying to get here for a very long time. I have members of the band from Vancouver, British Columbia, the band which released one of the best pop-punk albums of the year, the band which has completed their tours across Canada and United States of America this year and going to Europe next month. The band which got criticized by the Canadian Heritage Minister James Moore, the band which is having a very busy and probably one of the best years of their career, or maybe even their lives. I would like to say hello to my friends from Living the Lands.
Hello, hello,
hello. Hello, hello, hello.
The crowd goes wild.
As I mentioned earlier, Living the Lands, there you guys are leaving to Europe in the end of October after completing 2 weeks of touring Canada and States in the beginning of October month. The band is going to be playing Sweden, Norway, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, Austria, Netherlands, Belgium, and United Kingdom of Great Britain. Tonight at the media show, there is a kickoff show for this mega super tour, and Living the Lions will be playing along with local baseball heroes Isotopes, one of my favorite local bands, and our good friends from United States of America, Broadway Calls from Seattle, Washington. Today we will be giving away tickets to the show a little bit later on the show, and we have also musical gifts. We have a limit, it's limited to 7-inch.
Yeah, it is.
And the vinyl version of their brand new album called Holy Shit.
That's right.
You got it, my friend.
So a little bit later, we'll ask you to use the phone number 604-822-2487, and you can win the tickets for tonight's show and the beautiful music by Living the Lands. Okay, so let me start playing you those beautiful songs from Holy Shit, and we'll listen to a couple tracks, and then we'll start doing the interview, talking, and all the interesting part of the show.
All right, sounds like fun.
Sounds like a plan.
Let's start with track number two, Regret Song. This is Living the Lions, and this is Punk Rock Show, We All Fall Down.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is a weekly punk rock show, We All Fall Down, and I have Chase and Landon from Living the Lions here in studio, both playing guitars in the band.
Yes, sir.
Hello, hello.
Hello, thank you so much for coming, guys. It's really, I was really... It was my not my dream, but I was planning for a long time to get you here.
Pretty crazy dream.
Your new record is called Holy Shit and came out in May on Black Box Music in Canada and Adeline Records in States.
Yeah.
That's your first record with the new vocalist too, and like there are some lineup changes for you. As a band members, as a composers, as a musician, was it a different process about the whole writing songs and the whole album preparation, pre-production?
Not really this time around. No. We had the same members the whole time throughout the writing process, like original members or whatever, and then after the record had been recorded, for the most part...
We had all the music done already.
We went through member changes, and then... We came back with Stu, and Stu re-recorded vocals, and so it was like, that part of it, like having to go back over and redo things with somebody new was different, for sure, and Stu, like, did, like, he did, like, write parts, like, some parts for himself, and, like, did rewrite a few things, like, so that was different as well, but other than that, it was pretty much the same process we've always done.
Everything, all the music, like we said, was already finished, and quite a few of the vocal melodies and stuff, and, like, Chase... wrote quite a bit of the stuff too, and it wasn't
nothing,
super big.
Nothing too interesting.
Yeah,
just boring. We hate recording.
Yeah.
So the process, like the recording process, was easier. Probably the lineup changes was not that easier, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't very easy, but you know, it worked out really for I don't know. It worked out really good for everybody. Like, we love Matt, we love Shane, and they went to do their own things, and now we got our good friends Stu and our good friend Bill in the band, and we're having a lot of fun and, you know, writing lots and doing whatever the hell we want to do, basically.
And getting a new front man can sometimes be probably the most tricky replacement in a band. And
why do you say so? Why tricky?
What? Just because, the sound, like getting somebody, like you can always get somebody who can play guitar, like, you know, recreate playing guitar, but, you know, voice is a pretty hard thing to emulate or fit in properly. And so I don't think we could ask for a smoother transition when it comes to that, I think, anyways.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they were both friends of ours from previously, like before the lineup changed, so... You know, like, we lived with Bill in the house when we all played together before, like, when he wasn't even in the band, so, you know, and we were friends with Stu since we'd started the band, and so it was a pretty, pretty easy change.
Yeah.
For me, watching you as a fan, you look like maybe it's not a good analogy, but like a sports team when like everyone is together, and like, you know, like even like, you know, seeing your pictures, you look like, you know, a good bunch of friends, and I think that's the main idea about that.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I play in a band in the first place.
Yeah.
Having like friends and people that we, you know, are stoked to be around all the time is pretty important to us.
Wouldn't do it if we hated it, you know? So
it definitely doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
So.
In Canada, the album is out on Black Box Music, and I think personally that's a great organization, great record label, because they have such a great roster of mixing hip-hop artists with pop-punk artists. That's a great idea. Being on Black Box, do you feel a part of this diversified, you know, group of musicians? Do you feel that you, you know, on such a diverse record label?
Somewhat. I mean, we definitely, like... I mean, obviously, being on the other side of the country for most of those people, we aren't really, like... as involved as most of the other guys are, but you know, we know everybody on the label and everybody's really friendly and cool.
Yeah.
We've known Ian and Jay, the guys that own it, for a really long time, so I don't know, it definitely, you know, there's like a connection with everyone, and it's cool to be a part of a record label that's diverse and eclectic and, you know, gives basically any kind of like artist an opportunity to release a record, you know, and stuff like that. So,
and I've never really thought about the who plays what kind of music, I guess, with that label. It's never really been an issue for me. Yeah, like Jay said, you know, we've just, like, we've known everybody and, like, Ian and Jay for a long time, so, yeah.
It's been cool.
Easy guys to get along with.
In States, on the other side of the continent, you're on the Adeline Records, which is co-owned by Billy Joe Armstrong, the king of punk rock, and, like, I'm a big Green Day fan. And, like, he runs an absolutely different label, with different bands, different ideas, different, you know. Is it different for you to be on this type of... Is it, like, is it actually, you know, is it... Am I asking, like, the right questions? Because is it you know, is it like, does it mean to you something being on the label?
It definitely like means something to us. They were like the first record label that gave us an opportunity to release an album and, mm-hmm. in the United States, which was like a pretty big deal for us. Like, we really wanted that to happen because we spend a lot of time down there. So to have them, like, you know, offer up the opportunity to release our record was pretty cool. It definitely like hasn't been weird at all. Like, everybody that works there is so cool and like,
yeah, like consider them friends and
and they're so close with us and like, and all the Black Box people and like our management and stuff, that it's just like, it's kind of just like a mini little like family of friends that, you know, like release our records and help us out. And
And there's still even a couple people who have previously worked for Adeline who don't anymore, and we still to this day talk to them and hang out with them and stuff like that, even though they're off on their own endeavors.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, you don't even really think about being on a record label, because once you get to know everybody, it just becomes like your friends that, mm-hmm. you know, do stuff for your band or whatever, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
You mentioned that for you as a band it was really important to go into States, and you know, for a young punk band in Canada nowadays, I see it two ways. The first way is like, you know, you focus on Canada, you mostly tour Canada, and Canada is great for that. They like, there's government grants and like the whole audience, the whole nation supports local bands very much, like bands like Billy Talent, Alexis on Fire, the bands who mostly focus in States. The bands like Flatliners who are going Canada and States. Then maybe a little bit less known in Canada, maybe less popularity, but at the same time they have a huge following in States. So you going the second way.
Yeah.
Kind of, I mean, why is that important for you? Why you wanted to be in States?
We just wanted to tour other places. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, there definitely is like a formula to a lot of Canadian bands where they just want to like become a big band in Canada, and however they do that is like, I don't know, however they do it, but we just wanted to travel, you know, like that's all it's about. Like, we like to have fun and
go see different places
we've never been before and meet new people, and that was how we always liked to do it in the beginning, and that's how we like to do it now. That's why, you know, we do a lot of touring in the US, we do a lot of touring in Europe, or like are starting to do a lot of touring in Europe and hopefully like other places too, because that's fun, you know, and like we really enjoy it. And
so you decided this way, the band vision for sightseeing purposes.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
There is an aspect of that.
Yeah, totally. Like, you go to, but you go to the States though too, and there's, you know, there's so many different, like way many, or sorry, nice grammar. Huh?
better than mine.
Yeah. there's more markets, and gas is cheaper, smokes and alcohol are cheaper if you're into that. You know, food's cheaper. So it can almost make it more economical to go tour down there.
There's a lot more people down there. And actually, like, on another side of things too, like, we play a lot of all ages shows in Canada. We tend to like play always like a few bar shows or whatever. But when we're in the States, we always play all ages shows, and that's what we prefer to do. And it seems like in every town, no matter where you are, there is an awesome all ages venue, whether it's owned by somebody or it's part of like a venue, you know, like, just like a separate room or whatever. There's always a good all ages venue. There's always a good all ages scene. There's tons of kids. They're super supportive, and it sucks for Canada. I feel like, you know, people don't really like appreciate that as much anymore, and
they're hard to find.
Those kind of venues aren't available here, you know, and it kind of like, I feel like it really like has hurt, you know, just like that all ages shows in general in Canada. You know, they can be really good in other places, but I don't know.
They're just becoming less and less all the time.
Yeah, it's definitely different, you know?
Yeah.
There's like small differences like that. So we like it there.
Yeah,
we like
cool.
it here too.
Yeah.
We like it everywhere.
Yeah. Wherever.
Wherever there's beer, that's all. Yeah.
Okay, so talking about tonight, you're playing tonight at the Media Club.
Yes.
And we have a couple tickets to give away.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we also have music, and I think we'll separate the two different records.
Sure, whatever you like.
So if you would like to go to the show tonight and see Living the Lions, Broadway Calls and Isotopes, and get a music on vinyl, you can call in 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487, and we can give this stuff away if you like. While you're doing that, we'll just play you some more music from the new album Holy Shit by Living the Lions. And I'll play you a song, whatever you want, and then a couple other ones.
Cool.
Could I tell sick. Yeah, your eyes tell me everything. I wanna squirm. Maybe you should look past it all. Watch me take the fall. I'll make you proud, I swear, I promise. Whatever you want, whatever you want, you get what you want. Whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want.
Friday, October 7th at the Electric Owl Social Club. MiniCooper.net proudly presents Portland duo Anjali and the Incredible Kid, along with Okapi Musica and Hyena DJs. You don't want to miss this amazing and unique night of Bollywood, Bhangra, and Congolese rumba. Doors open at 8, tickets are $12 in advance and $15 at the door. Proudly sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing, Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, and this is a punk rock show. We all fall down. Thank you so much, everyone who called. We even got a call from Russia. thank you so much, friends, that you're listening back there. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. And someone won a record, so good success. just to remind you, if you not listening to the show from the beginning, they have Chase and Landon from Living the Lions here in studio, and we're talking about the band, the upcoming tour, and everything. I would like to ask it about this whole thing, this controversy about your album. First, when I heard this album, I was mad personally because I didn't really pay attention to what the Canadian minister said, because politicians, I don't just believe them. They say all this some stuff. But the thing that made me mad is that the American newspaper, LA Weekly, they started, criticizing you. And I think they actually turned the whole situation.
Yeah, they got the ball rolling for sure.
Exactly.
That article, yeah.
And then, they start criticizing The Factor, which is a great organization. I have lots of support for them because they help all the young bands. When that's the whole thing happened, could you please just maybe briefly remind how was it, and then what was actually happening, and what was your first reaction when this happened?
Well, basically, the album was sent out to be reviewed, and slowly but surely, and it all started with LA Weekly, was somebody found it and, I guess, decided to flip through it, and it was some right-winger, super-conservative Christian writer for the paper, and decided to go to town on Factor and the Canadian government for allowing us to release it and using taxpayers' money and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so that kind of blew up, and the conservative government, being the conservative government, decided to, of course, that, they want to, they don't have anything better to do than listen to an American newspaper and bring it up in Parliament, and talk about how we were wasting taxpayers' money when really, they're talking about our stupid little record and wasting millions and millions of taxpayers' money, times 20 what we did. So
private jets, fancy dinners, flying down to the Stanley Cup.
But anyways, so they were upset. Obviously, like, the conservative government, they don't support arts funding programs. They don't want them to exist. They don't like to have the government funding going to arts and stuff like that. So chose to make an example of us, and unfortunately kind of held a gun to Factor's head, and in turn the gun got held to a record label's head, and then the gun got held to our head somewhat. They asked us to just change the artwork and we could keep the grant money, but we didn't really want to do that. It was
freedom of speech.
It wasn't even really like a matter of like sticking it to the man anymore, at that point. Like, it was just so like outrageous, like what they were trying to do to begin with, that it just became more about just like, it's our right, whether it's a an offensive album cover with poo inside of it, that's the way you see it. Or, like, at the end of the day, no matter what you say, it's technically art, you know? Like, and we're allowed to express ourselves freely. And if it's an arts funding program, then, you know, I mean, obviously there's a within reason, like, but, you know, art's supposed to evoke emotion, and it evokes emotion, and, you know, we're allowed to express ourselves that way if we want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The minute you, like, start allowing the conservative government or any government to dictate, like, what is or isn't offensive, you know what I mean? Like, that, I mean, I just hardly call it arts funding anymore when they're, you know...
It's like propaganda, you know? Yeah. You pick what you're going to make for art,
yeah,
for your country, you're going to change the culture,
bullshit,
you know?
Yeah.
Generally, so, anyway.
That's basically the, you know... After everything was said and done, that was kind of the statement that we were trying to make out of the whole scenario, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the thing that really got me mad, because Factor, I see them and, like, I know a little bit about them, that they're such a great organization. And in your video, you have, like, the funds, which they really did help, like, a huge number of bands and really helping.
Us and, included, you know?
Yeah, and then I found this good, really quote. The goal of the program is to encourage homegrown Canadian talent and not act as a filter for non-offensive art. So... They, you know, and then like they're like, you know, they're starting criticizing Factor as an organization and then helping, like, you know, sponsoring you, and like that really made me mad, and I just don't think it's fair.
No, I mean, but you know what? That's at the end of the day, like I said, like you gotta look. I mean, it's just way too, like, transparent, you know, like you know, you have like all these right wing conservative writers like coming down on us, and all these like members of parliament, conservative members of parliament coming down on us. We make an example of us when really, like, it has nothing to do with our album artwork. Like, they don't give a shit.
They actually don't
give a shit about... No, it's not even that, in my opinion, anyways. Like, they don't give a shit about us offending Canadians. They don't give a shit. They don't care about the artwork. It doesn't offend them. They don't give a shit. The only thing they care about is taking that arts funding away from Factor, because they feel like they could use that money better in other places. Maybe in their own pockets. You know what I mean? Like,
because
and that's the truth of the situation. Like, that is... It's just so painfully obvious. Like, the Heritage Minister who made the big stink about it, the very first thing he did when he was appointed Heritage Minister was cut $45 million from our arts budget. It's not a secret that they don't support arts and they don't want their part of their budget going to fund arts programs. Like, that's just the way they are, you know what I mean? And, like, that's the whole deal. It's, like, it's not like they really cared about, like, how offensive our artwork was. It's not like those artists care about that. The writers care about that either. They just don't want the money going there anymore, you know? It's all, like, fucking... Mm. It's all bullshit in the end. And it's funny how politics work that way. Like, none of us are politically motivated. None of us really cared about that shit before, but... You know, when you're affected by it, like, so personally, like, you realize, like, how easy it is to get caught up. And, like, this kind of stuff happens to, like, average Canadians and Americans every day, you know? Like, all over the world, like, you know, families and, like, and the average Joe Schmo is affected by, like, a political decision that's complete bullshit, you know what I mean? And it's crazy how, like, real it gets just when it happens to you personally, you know what I mean? So
Michael Moore movies.
Yeah.
I was just today in the morning I was listening to his interview with Gian Kamesh, and he was talking like exactly like different words, but the idea was the same. He was talking about the American government taking away homes from people for not paying mortgages, but why they were not paying mortgages because they couldn't pay their health bills. So
yeah.
Like, you know, it's a circle, and you know, it's the same kind of idea, just a different topic. I know that you started the Kickstarter program to recoup those money. Could you please tell a little bit about it? Because Kickstarter, it's a relatively new program. And just a couple words about this program.
It's like a fundraiser program for certain art projects and stuff like that. And you can offer up prizes for your, like, within yourself. And,
I saw you have very cool prizes.
Like, you know, like limited t-shirts or Bill, certain donations will get you certain prizes, and Bill will do, you know, like, he'll tattoo your name on himself, or, yeah, like, t-shirts, all sorts of different stuff.
Like,
and then you can co-write a song with you for a certain amount.
Like, all sorts of stuff.
Like, that whole idea came about where, like, you know, the government was claiming that, you know, like, we inappropriately use taxpayers' money, which is, and this is a whole separate argument, which they do every day on a regular basis, times a million what we do, so that argument's completely void anyways. But anyways, they were saying that we inappropriately spent taxpayers' money, So in response to that, we figured, hey, let's do this Kickstarter program. So that way, when we give our money back to Factor, we can say, look, like, this money came from Canadian taxpayers, so F all of you guys.
They don't think
because
we're wasting
you're wrong.
It.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know.
So they and gave us their
and,
own money.
You know, it's like people are free to, like, donate. It's not like we're, like, going out and begging or anything like that. We just put up a Kickstarter and said, hey, like, this is what we're trying to do. If you, you know, support us and support the cause, then, you know, donate or whatever. And in a day and a half, we had reached, like, $9,000, I think, which was really cool. So now, you know, like, it was more or less like a petition just to kind of, like, make a little bit more of a statement when we come back and give them the money. Because I think, you know, they just thought we were a bunch of stupid kids, and they thought they saw their chance to make an example of Factor through us. And that's, like I keep on saying, like, that's what it was, you know what I mean?
And the, sorry, what's the name of the museum?
The National Portrait Gallery.
Yeah, the National Portrait Gallery. So all the extra money from over, like, what we needed goes to that.
To the National Portrait Gallery. We're donating it to the National Portrait Gallery, which is actually a portrait gallery in Calgary that got their funding cut through James Moore. He cut their funding when he was appointed Heritage Minister. So we're going to take the excess funds and donate it to the portrait gallery in James Moore's name.
Yeah.
Because that guy's a fucking douchebag. So.
No, for real, you know, like, I didn't know about the museum, but I think you're doing such a great job, and you're just doing, you know, just doing the right thing, and thank you for doing that.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm glad that we could.
We're trying.
Yeah. I'm just glad that, like, we are so surprised with how well the Kickstarter thing went, and so excited that people are so supportive about it, and the coolest part was, like, having the extra money to, like, give to the portrait gallery, because that was something we really wanted to do.
And so it felt good to be able to
not only to do it, you know, like, because it's an awesome thing to do, but just to piss off James Moore and Stephen Harper a little bit.
And to show them how fast we got it, too, you know. It's like, obviously people care, like, so shut up.
There's
So shut up.
Okay, tonight you're playing at the Broadway Calls and Isotopes at the Media Club. I'd like to play new songs by Broadway Calls and Isotopes. So the bands we're playing tonight, we'll listen to some new brand stuff from those two amazing bands, and then I'll have a little game for you, if you don't mind.
All right, cool.
Okay, so let's start with Isotopes. The guys, they have a brand new EP called Cuban Missile, and that's the first track of it called Ballad of Ray Ordonez.
I don't wanna talk about it.
liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR. This is a punk rock show. We all fall down, and I have Landon and Chase from Living Lands here in studio.
Hello.
Hello.
We don't have that much time, so we'll go a little bit quickly. One question from Russia, from one of your fans in Russia, my good friend. He asks just the question, what do you think is the worst punk album of all time?
Oh, God.
From Roadside Records. Let's see here.
The new Sum 41 record? I don't know. Like
SR 71.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Bowling for Soup. Anything Bowling for Soup did. How about that? I never even heard that band,
Bowling
but
for
I know.
Soup or Not By Choice.
Yeah. Oh, Not By Choice, Canadian. Yeah, something like that. Maybe anything good Charlotte's ever done, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, then, that's good. Okay, and we were just talking about the fest. The fest is happening at the end of
Halloween
October.
Weekend, yeah.
Yeah, Halloween weekend in Gainesville, Florida. All three of us, we're not going. You will be in Europe. I will be here in Canada. Recently on punknews.org, they published this thing, like, you know, because it's a huge festival, more than 200 bands. There's sometimes good bands playing at the same times at different venues. So they published top six conflicts of the fest. So I have all those six conflicts, and there's like two bands or two or three bands, and let's just say which one you will go see, because they play at the same time, and just argument that.
All right.
Okay.
Let's start. So the first one, the Menzingers versus the Flatliners. See?
I call Flatliners on this one, because there are buddies, and I also listen to Cavalcade like every day, so...
Yeah,
that's my.
I would lean towards that one, but maybe I'll do a half-half.
Yeah.
No, you're cheating.
No, I'll drink. I'm going out for
you
a
have
beer
to pick
anyway.
One. You
so.
Have to pick one.
I'll go with Flatliners because I know them better.
The next one, Against Me, Bomb the Music Industry, Red City Radio.
Against Me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, Hot Water Music, Circle Takes the Square, Red Collar.
Hot Water Music.
Bridge and Tunnel versus Dead to Me.
Dead to me.
This is way too easy for us.
The next one for me is tough. Smoke of Fire versus Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik.
Oh, I was going to say Smoke of Fire.
Yeah. Oh, here's the conflict.
Yeah. I'm a big Letterman fan, so I'd love to see Iron Sheik. Yeah.
And the last one, The Measure SA, and that's their final show versus Teenage Bottle Rocket.
Who was the first band, sorry?
The Measure.
Teenage Bottle Rocket.
I'd probably do Teenage Bottle Rocket.
Okay, that was good.
Yes, we don't really... That's why we get along so well.
Yeah.
No fights over music in the van.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for coming down. Thank you
anytime.
For all the presents and everything, and for being awesome and playing great music.
Thanks, Timmy.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You know, you always have your support here at the station. I always play your band, and
thank you.
Thank
you so much,
man.
Have fun in Europe, and all the best.
We will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. If you like what you heard, you can find the podcast on CITR.ca and on my blog, We All Fall Down, CITR.tumblr.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I have the last song by Living with Lions. What do we have? Which songs should I play? When We Were Young, Matthew's Anthem, or Rough Around the Edges?
Rough Around the Edges.
Yeah, we'll do Rough Around
okay.
the Edges.
Okay, yeah. Let me play. This is track number 12 on my disc. Let's go. Thank you so much. This is Living the Lions, and thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I drift, last night I of an adjective. Shut down in the streets, covered up feelings behind these punk rock beats. This place is so big, tied up in jail. A place so small it'll never remember.